Welcome to the Real BS Show for another week of fun and games.
Fun and games, yes.
Yeah. You know what we got to do? Let's talk about being prepared, because everybody's talking this doomsday crazy stuff.
It's better to be prepared than not.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that?
By prepping up, getting prepared, having this...
prep up what? What do you get?
Make sure food, water, you know, sanitation.
Can you collect electricity?
Oh, yeah.
Save that up?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to a little bit of music first, and then we'll jump into it.
It is in the shelter of others that you can find real, true shelter for yourself.
Earth.
Yeah, we're coming back.
Make a landing.
Yeah, soft one.
You know, I hear all these people on YouTube talking doom and gloom. I mean, big time.
Yes.
Whether it's the fires in Canada or the war in Ukraine or the
monetary policy.
Banks. Yeah, the banks stealing your money. And
or, you know, food supply shortages. You know, I mean, these are. There's sometimes you have to read between the lines. There's some people that are going always extreme. They're trying to sell something. A good example is I'll admit to this. There's a guy I watch that does weather, and every video he puts out, it's, oh, this is the worst heat. This is going to be the worst cold, the worst storms. It's all clickbait. And sometimes you have to read between the lines. The guy's just putting that as his title so people click it. But he's not ever talking about any doomsday stuff.
What's some of your favorite guys on there?
Oh, geez. Lindy Page is good. And then there's a lot of, what's that one guy, the Asian guy that does monetary policy?
Robert Kiyosaki?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I also listen to, I'm trying to think here, you got me on the spot. I have like 250 subscriptions, Bill. So
I got a few myself.
The key to that is I have variety. I like a lot of evolutionary psychology and biology and history and stuff like that. So I get into archaeology and paleontology and ancient stuff, new stuff, and, you know, in between. I love a lot of economic stuff.
I like these.
The Mises
lately group. I've been watching these things about these things about Charlie Manson and Ted Bundy and, you know, the down to earth, what really, really happened and all this and that. Boy, some of it's pretty ugly.
There's also Dr. Grande. He's a psychologist that goes through basically the mind's kind of maybe it's not exactly what happened maybe, but his opinion what maybe happened. So it's his own personal opinion. And I like that. And there's other ones that that cover, they very short on the news. They don't have an agenda. That's one. There's ones I like that just straight to the point. Here's the facts from both sides and kind of go through it. There's, let's see here. There's so many. I listen to like farmers that talk about things, techniques. There's Farmer Derek. He's hilarious.
I'm more into the, let's see, some of the, I allegedly, you know, that Dan guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a.
Rich Dad Channel. That's what it is. That's the one Asian
Rich
guy.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah. The Canadian Prepper, I kind of like him too. He's really doom and gloom.
I like a lot of, this may be shocking to some people, but it shouldn't be for people that know me, but I like guys that actually build things. So I'm talking right from scratch using CNC or hand or anything. They're showing how to do it. And like Jimmy DiResta is excellent at that. He sits there and you can use a lot of these things for if you had to survive because he's showing you how to use the tools by hand. He's showing you how to do things that most people, you'd have to spend years doing. And he's telling you the things to avoid. So Jimmy DiResta is a big one I support. There's a lot of guys that restore things. They tear apart machines and show you how to restore them. So AVE is a guy that's pretty cool. He tears apart tools and shows what's good about them, what's bad.
I also watch a lot of log splitting.
There you go, yeah.
Guys, there's Ohio Woodburner.
Right.
I don't know, like a 40 guy up there in Wisconsin. Chris.
The reason I go through these guys.
Oh, I know Mike, what's his name? Mike Mahoney or Mike Maloney.
Yeah.
Down there by Pittsburgh or north of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Mike, what the heck's his last name? Malone. I don't know, Mike Maloney or something like that.
I do a lot of restoration videos, and also the big one is technology connections. That guy actually goes through and explains deep detail, like an hour long videos about why you should use powdered laundry soap over liquid. Those are stupid. Some people think it's stupid, but actually you're saving money. I don't know. Real engineering. I watch Veritasium a little bit, not too much, but Tom Scott's pretty cool. Tech ingredients. That's another crew that they're making things and giving it to the public. Here, this is how you can do it. You can save thousands of dollars doing this. Creating things. So tech ingredients is a big one that they're very scientifically sounded. They do everything. They show every experiment, how they do things and why you should do it this way, how to cool your house with very limited electricity, basically improve air conditioning, how to make solar, how to do solar heaters with water. You know what I'm talking about? Like that kind of thing. These guys I go to, the tech ingredient guys, because they just know how to do it. My mechanics, I like a lot of that stuff. You like, again, CNCing and stuff. Nile Blue does chemistry because, you know, if you're mixing things, you should know. Nile Red and Nile Blue are same guys. Fall of Civilizations, excellent podcast for history. If you wanted to see how a civilization...
Yeah, I like a lot of history. I do a lot of history stuff. Roman Empire and all that stuff.
This guy here, he has hour-long videos describing what led to the civilizations falling. And it's precisely on. It's historically accurate and detailed with images and everything. He talks about the Han Dynasty, why they fell. He talked about, he has like 20 episodes on here. Carthage, why Carthage fell. Why Bagad, a city in, I think in Thailand, fell. All these civilizations, the Tibetans, the Assyrians, the Inca, the Byzantium, it goes on. Han Dynasty, the Aztecs, you see here the Sumerians, why did they fall, and then he goes into the exact details why they fell. Probably my favorite one is the Sumerians. Basically, they overfarmed their lands and it went dry, and then there was invaders.
Too many goats?
Too many goats and too much, not enough.
All the trees.
why did Greenland fail? They had a bit, decent population there and it just died off. Why did the Mayan Empire fell before even Europeans even came here? That's an excellent one there, because it kind of fits our show a little bit, what we're doing today. What if society goes into a point where you need to fall back on older methods of doing things, which brings us to primitive technology. If you watch Primitive Technology, that guy, there's many channels that try to imitate primitive technology, but that guy shows you how to do everything without metal. Like, he's finally, everyone's joked that he went from the Stone Age to the Bronze Age, and now he's actually in the Iron Age, finally. But he goes through how to build a shelter, how to start a fire, how to start with a stick, rubbing it,
Yeah, baloney. You just get a Bic lighter and away you go.
But if you don't have that.
What do you mean you don't have that?
What if you don't?
Every store in town's got it.
Yeah, I know, but with those stores start running out of supplies.
That's what I'm talking about, being prepared,
This guy here.
What's the two biggest things about, if you had to save up, in case there's a disaster a year long?
Yeah, food and water, in my opinion.
I came to a conclusion: you need food and you need toilet paper.
Yeah. I would say if you had a 12-volt water pump and you had solar panels and batteries, then you could just use a hose instead of toilet paper. But Primitive Technology is a great channel for everyone. I would suggest everyone. We can't put Primitive Technology on there. The guy doesn't talk on purpose. He puts CC, closed caption, and there's no talking.
I'm just talking general stuff, Just something you can stockpile on and kind of just be ready. I mean, how do you stockpile water? Holy smokes.
Right.
It's just, that ain't too easy.
That's what he also shows, how to filter it through
carbon. Yeah, filtering would be a key.
He has an episode on there, how to filter water, because he's in northern Australia where there's jungle. And so the water is bad, and so you have to filter it. And so he burns wood until it's charcoal, and then can filter the water through the charcoal, and he shows how to do that.
Why don't you just boil it?
Well, that's what he also shows that too. He shows how to boil it, but he also shows the carbon filtering too, that you can filter water that way.
Get the big chunks out.
Yeah. But that's what, that kind of thing right there. He's taking manuals, survival manuals and military manuals, and just basically displaying it the step by step what to do. And I think that's valuable. And he has millions of views. People are watching him, and it's a good thing. Like, he sends out a video about once a month, we'll call it, roughly. And he's out there showing new techniques, how to build shelter, how to make clay roofing tiles, how to make weapons.
That's a little more detail than I need. I just...
he's also showing how to make weapons, how to make... axes out of stone, how to make food, how to grow food.
There's a biggie right there.
And so he's just showing you the techniques that I think that everyone should know how to do at the basic level. And it's called bushwhacking, essentially. I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing. But, you know, there's some guys I know, and this is no criticism to the people I know, but they'll get all the gear. They'll get, like, I'm talking, like, full military gear and, you know, all this expensive gear that if they had to survive and their house was destroyed, they could go live off the land. But they're forgetting things like socks. You know, you need your socks, and you can't wear the same socks day after day because you'll get athlete's foot, your feet will get dirty, you get like really bad trench foot. And so you have to plan for winter, summer, all that jazz. If you were to bushwhack, and that's the reality, you can't just go out in there in the woods and survive with dirty socks. That's going to kill you. You'll get septic. You'll become septic sooner or later. There's so many different. That's where I think, you know, cable TV really missed out on all these things, you know, that their potentials. And I think that's where we need to get back to the basics and how to survive out there. Because what if your house, what if everything gets destroyed and you need to survive? Because sooner or later, if you're not repairing your house, sooner or later it's going to fail. You know, there's not going to be any supply chain to fix your roof. After 20 years, your roof's going to start deteriorating, and what are you going to do?
Well, after 20 years, Home Depot will open back up.
You'd hope.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
the worst case scenario.
Money? You think you stockpile money, or they're taking away cash?
I mean, I would say gold.
Gold and silver, yeah. Silver is poor man's.
Another one is the China show, that these guys are they go into the history of China and stuff, you know. There's Mothlight Media. It's another good one. There's just so many out there that it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of the ones I would even think of.
I see China's encouraging their people to own gold.
That's to a point.
They're pushing it. In our country, it's just the opposite.
I would say no. That's they're trying to do it for international trade, but not their own people. They wouldn't want their own people having gold.
No, yeah, they are. That's a big deal in China.
The Cato Institute's another one I follow. Reason TV is a good YouTube. They really go into it. I do have Bob Ross on there because sometimes you want to fall asleep.
Bob Ross, didn't he check out?
Yeah, he did. He did. There's AV right there. He's a funny guy. Primitive technology. I'm going to suggest that to everyone. This is kind of like, I'm going to shout out to him. He has only 10 million subscribers. He needs some more. He's really good. You know, he goes into like how to make iron ore from scratch, using bacteria and water, iron bacteria, and, how to make, right there. That's iron bacteria cement, making charcoal, three different methods. And he just sits there and shows he shows not tells, pretty much. But you turn on your closed caption and he reads that one. But he has so many videos on here, it's outrageous. How to make a tile.
Well, that's too primitive for me.
Yeah, but you think about this. If it came to it, you would need to know this information. That's how I view. And there's a lot of application things. So, for instance, have you ever tried starting a fire with just a stick?
No.
I mean, that's a learned skill. He can do it under 20 seconds.
It's a lot easier with a big lighter, though.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's so these are cool things. I think, like a forge blower, he's showing you how to make a forge blower. That's huge.
What are you going to do with that?
You can make metal.
When's the last time you made metal?
I've actually been messing around with it, Bill. Oh, wow. I'm trying to experiment.
I don't think that's the only metal I got. I'm trying to get rid of.
Oh, there you go. Recycle it.
Well, the neighbors showed me how to do it. You just put a sign out there, free scrap metal.
And they come and get it?
People come by the carloads, and they just haul everything in sight.
You know, I was here with, I was down to the studio here a couple days ago. I think it was Sunday. And I was with Mr. Maynard. We were working on his shows for the radio station. And some guy walked up to us and goes, "Does anyone want to buy my copper? It's clean copper." And I just, the guy's supposed to come down and get it, and he's not showing up, I don't think. And I just, all I want is, exchange for some money and blah, 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 and I'll sell it dirt cheap. And I was like, nope. Like, I didn't even entertain him. I'm like, that's probably someone, he stole it from somewhere. You know, I mean, come on, you know, I don't know who that, it's like 11 o'clock at night and he came over to us. And I'm like, this is some shady business here, you know,
perfect business hours.
Yeah, right, right. Anywho, going back to our actual topic of the show, I mean, what's some of the techniques that you would use?
What's some of the things that I've done already?
Yeah, done already. Yeah, we'll go
well,
into
the
that.
Solar
first.
Panel thing, is, right. My batteries, they've been cooking for about 5 years now.
Right.
Whoa. And they're just cruising along like they're brand new still.
Right, right.
You know, so the system I got set up with the, with, you know, 1,600 watts of solar panels and
right.
What 600 amp hours of batteries. So that's three batteries.
Right.
And I got backups for the solar charge controllers and the, what do you call it, the inverters where it goes from 12 to 120.
Right.
I got backups for those case EMP or something.
Right.
But that's about it. And it's just been automatic pilot day after day after day. In the wintertime, I got to go out and
clean
off the snow.
Yeah.
But it's no big deal. And,
right, right. My son, know, my son's well. My automatic machine. He goes up there and cleans the solar panels off.
Well, it's, you know, and that's so automatic and so... you know, couldn't have done
energy.
It any better. Yeah,
I at mean, a certain point,
I haven't had
an
electric bill in 10 years. You know?
Right. Well, that's the thing for me too. Is I have the solar panels and the inverters and the charge controllers. I don't have the nice ones you have, but I thought about buying the MTTPs. Right. Those are nice. I think
that way you could put more voltage in than what you need,
and then
cloudy out, you still get a full charge.
So. I have the lead acid, and you have the glass mat. And those are much more preferred. They handle the cold better. Whereas lead,
well, they don't have a lot of hydrogen coming out the top of them.
Yeah, that's a big part. Yeah,
you don't have to fill them with water or do any of that stuff.
Yeah,
there's no corrosion of any kind.
Right,
they still look brand new to me.
Right, and how long do they last? You think?
I don't know. They said it should be a good 10 years, but
really,
I'm like I say, 5 years, and they're still working exactly like they did when they were brand new. Of course,
right.
They get charged every day. You
right,
know, every
helps.
Day they get a full charge.
I think that's a big part there is, you know, solar panels are great and inverters are great, but the core of it is actually the batteries. It's where the big restriction is. We said it before on the show, I said it at least, that they're trying to nationally put out solar panels everywhere, but we don't have the battery storage for it. And that's the main problem I have with them implementing solar everywhere. We're not storing that energy when we need it most. Because when it's like 4 to 8 p.m. is when the electricity usage goes up because everyone's coming home, they're turning on their ACs, that kind of thing. That's when we need the energy the most, and we're not storing it for that time. And batteries are getting more expensive because
I don't know what they're doing.
Oh no, they're just
how do they make electricity around here? Nuclear?
Nuclear. Yeah, this area is nuclear. I'm a big belief in that nuclear is the most power, but if that was to ever go out, then...
Well, we got to buy all the uranium from Russia.
It's also from South Africa and Argentina. We got uranium mines out there.
Wise politicians, well, Hillary Clinton, uranium right. one, she sold 20% of our uranium
right.
to Russia.
Right.
She's a smart lady.
So
she wanted to be president.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. It's one of those things that, you know, you're having solar and wind is great on a personal level. I think it's liberating and it takes you off the grid as possible.
It does everything I wanted to do. Solar, I got a microwave oven, I got a refrigerator, a water pump.
Water pump's 12 volt, right?
Yeah.
See, my problem is my well is 240. So that's a big restriction for me. I think that's my biggest problem right now is the well's 240.
Yeah, you could save a lot of rainwater, though. I mean,
yeah.
It's around here. You
and
could,
I do have a 12-volt pump.
If you have you got some tanks, you can store up enough to last you for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. But I think going beyond energy, that's a big component to keep your electricity usage going and your consumption. But let's say an EMP could take out your whole line because it becomes into a coil of some sorts. And it becomes like an antenna that receives the EMP pulse. It could take out your electricity. You have food storage.
Take out everything.
Yeah, take out everything in the whole world, or one side of the earth at least. one of the things that is food, you know, I think canned food is, there's two different types of canned food I'm going to talk about here. There's canned food that you buy from the stores, and then canning that is canned food, which is old style mason jars. That's the original canned food.
Yeah.
Both are becoming very popular as a way of surviving. And
all we did when I was little was canned food every year.
Right. And you survived off it, right?
Pretty much.
You know, I mean, that's before refrigeration really kicked off, and now we have instant, you know, everyone's living off their refrigerator. I have a lot of canned food from stores, but I have not gotten
that
to
stuff lasts pretty long time.
It does, yeah.
I'd bet you 5 years.
Easily, yeah.
But the best thing would be to rotate the stock, you know?
Yes. That's what I've been trying to do. It's sometimes the other thing, too, is you have to be careful that the expiration date wears off, so you have to actually write. I write down the expiration date on the can. I tried to, at least. And that way I can actually legibly see it. But I've had after expired canned food, and guess what? It's still fine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's they heat treat it, so it's pasteurized.
Well, they don't want you to save it too long. They want you to buy some more.
Right. But there's a lot of things that you can do. There's an Amish store that sells expired canned food, and it's still good. I've been there. They have no lights. They have no lights.
Whoa.
they had some echo to it. There's no lights in the building at all. So they have like skylights so you can see it when you're walking around in there. But it's actually pretty cool. No debit card. It's only cash only. Do you think they're doing their sales tax bill?
I hope not. Well, food in Pennsylvania isn't taxed.
Exactly.
It's taxed elsewhere, but not here.
But there is stuff in there that they are selling that's not food. So that's why I was making a joke.
Yeah.
I don't care if they are or not. I think
they're
going to
outlaw
funny.
Cash, too. So that's you're going to be a criminal if you got cash.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. I don't think that's too far away.
I'm trying to remember. There's a bunch of countries in Asia and also in Europe that are pushing the digital currency.
I went to get my I had to get a replacement driver's license. So I went down there, and they went through all the process and everything, and I don't know, it wasn't much, $30, $35
yeah.
something.
You had to get a money order, huh?
Well, I didn't have any card or anything, so I gave him cash. And he says, we're not allowed to take cash.
No, they only allow
what?
Money order. They don't even allow you to have a card. You can't even use a card there. You have to get a money order or
I
check.
I don't know about that, because my card, I lost my wallet, so I mean, card and license, everything was gone, so.
Right.
Oh, what do you mean, no cash?
Yeah.
What?
Yep. That's something I ran into. I had to run over to Giant Eagle that was next door. But guess what? Giant Eagle's closed now. So that means you have to, before you even go there, you have to get a money order from a bank or a store, like, and go and get a money order and then go there. It's exact. You have to have the exact. It's, to me, stupid. You know, here's something that's positive recently. Talking about surviving as I hunt. Let's say, you know, you need to hunt your meat and then hang it up and dress it and get it prepared to be butchered. Not many people know how to do that. But I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm just saying. But recently, the state government made it easier to get your hunt license online. So what sucks is they restricted our area, which is 1B, which includes your area, too, is 1B. That's 1B the whole way, all the way down to where you live.
Sounds more communistic than Russia.
But the problem
permit
is...
Permit for everything.
Well, the problem is they restricted the number of doe licenses. So you only can get... There was only 37,000 for 1B. When other places like around Pittsburgh, the Allegheny area, had like 60,000. And I'm sitting here thinking... Who's hunting in that suburb, you know, Pittsburgh in the suburbs? No one's hunting out there. There's nowhere to hunt, you know? I mean, but they had 60,000 licenses to get down there if you wanted to. I'm thinking, who's going to hunt down there?
Well, my deer, I got a half a dozen or so that stand right there 6 feet away from me.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm pouring the corn in their bowls. I mean, they're so friendly, it's getting scary.
But the ones that remember my father was standing there and they came running over to him, they thought, for a split second, they thought my father was you, and then they realized, no, that's not Bill, and they ran.
We're down at my house.
Yeah, when we were down there. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But there's deer running around my backyard, and I think the neighbors are feeding them, because I was told by a few people that, oh, this neighbor's feeding them corn, this one's feeding them, I don't know, some apples, and they were coming from the apple tree in my backyard. But, yeah, that's something that, you know, worst case scenario, you got the friendly deer there that if you had to.
If there was one missing, they wouldn't know it.
No. but after a while, they'd learn not to come around.
Is woodchuck good to eat?
Yeah, you can cook them. Slow cook them. I have a great uncle that used to cook woodchuck up.
I'd get rid of them in a minute.
All they are is woodchucks are just ground squirrels. That's all they are. They're big squirrels.
What? How about raccoons?
I don't know about raccoons.
I mean, a lot of those.
Yeah, the raccoons. Yeah, you could probably cook anything with meat. You can cook. You just have to really cook them to temperature, like 165 Fahrenheit. You don't want to mess around and get like trichinosis or something like that, which is a parasite. It's in wild game.
Got lots of squirrels and chipmunks running
yeah,
around.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, the truth is that groundhogs would be very good meat. They're big animals, you know.
Yeah, pretty good size. Yeah.
But
turkey, got a lot of turkey running around.
Turkey aren't stupid though. They're colored vision. They're different than mammals. They have very, very good vision. So you'd have to.
Boy, they're awful big. That's down in my house, anyways. They're really pretty.
You'd have
good
to pick.
Size.
You'd have to pick them off at a far distance, basically. But no, we always said when we seen turkey while hunting that we're screwed. They are the deer are listening to the turkey, and they do. The deer will follow the turkey during hunting season, and whenever the turkey spot a human, they sound off, and you're screwed.
Yeah.
But now it's just, you know, there's a lot of different tactics out there, you know, but for me, it's like getting food, water, knowing your water supply, making sure it's clean. It doesn't get spoiled. And then how to filter it because it still needs to be filtered.
Yeah. I guess filters important. They're getting some pretty good filters. I seen the one it's called free water.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that thing was just amazing. And it was like $30.
We're online. You're talking about like Amazon?
Well, I think Walmart has them too.
Oh, really?
Know. Yeah, they're. But boy, the test results from them things were they're even better than Berkey water filters.
Really?
Yeah. I said, holy smokes. And you can put that container in your refrigerator and make it has a spigot on it and nice cold water and super clean.
Huh.
But that would be an important prepping item and, you know, a few filters to go with it. And the dried food, what do you call it? Dehydrated food. Yeah. I got a lot of cans of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the mountain food. Don't you?
Yeah, Mountain House is really good stuff, I got to admit. I got a lot of other stuff, too, but other kinds. But
you also have dehydrated food, don't you?
Isn't that all the same?
No, the dehydrated food is a little bit different. They'd be like kind of like you have to add water to it.
Yeah, I have to add water to everything. Though.
Oh, really? The Mountain House?
Mountain House. Yeah, anything. You put a cup of this in and a cup of boiling water.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Stir it around for 15 minutes and boom, you're ready to go.
Because it's a little bit different than the MREs.
Lasagna with meat or, you know, beef stroganoff, whatever you want. Chicken with rice. All kinds of stuff.
The MREs that they have a shelf life that people don't realize, but the MREs you would basically just heat up. A lot of civilians love them, but man, if you eat them all the time, they're gross as hell. They're very high in sodium. They're a lot of calories. Most people didn't know that. If you're not doing much, if you're in infantry like I was and always walking in the Army infantry, you're always moving. And burning a lot of calories, then yes, 3 MREs a day makes sense. But if you're a civilian, you should only be probably eating one of those. They're like 1,500 calories. that's the downside to that. But then again, if you're in a survival situation, then you're going to probably need that more, you know, 3 of them or 2 of them a day, you know?
What would you do if the grocery stores closed down for, say, a couple months, Walmart? I see Giant Eagle's on the ropes. They're hurting bad.
Yeah, Tops.
Yeah, Tops is another one that's ready to file bankruptcy.
Oh, they already have.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did. I would say that people would be growing guards again. You know,
I guess have to get your pistols and guns out to protect yourself.
You would have
You might have people coming to visit.
We saw the pandemic during the COVID lockdowns. How people panic bought. You know, it's true. Look at the meat prices. The meat, like especially beef, was gone. Like chicken.
I think I got enough toilet paper to last me the rest of my life.
There you go. You start a fire with it if you had to. I'd be honest with you. I use a bidet, and I have toilet paper, but I don't use it as much.
I can tell. No, I'm just kidding.
To me, it's like there's nothing wrong with toilet paper, but man, just water can clean, you know, soap and water can clean you up faster, you know? But the reality is we're
that bidet thing, does that have warm water in it?
You can get the one with warm water, yeah. I prefer the cold.
Chilly. Really?
Yep. Even the winter.
Wow. You get 50 degree water splashing on your butt.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. It wakes you up.
Yeah.
I've been through creeks and rivers when it was winter in the military, so it's kind of like, you know, you get used to it.
No, you never get used
to
it.
No, I'm joking.
Water.
You don't. It always sucks. You just suck it up. But 50 is not too bad. It even gets colder sometimes, you know, that water.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But no, I think, you know, the key to it is the shelter. That's another problem. How many people are willing to repair their own place? What are you going to use? How are you going to fix that if something fails?
Everybody moved to California and live on the streets.
Yeah, right.
You'd be homeless.
Yeah.
Get a tarp and you're ready to go.
I honestly, you know, going back to the COVID pandemic when everybody was panic buying and locking down and all the riots were going on, it just kind of confirmed to me that I don't want to be near any big cities if something major was to happen. And it's nothing against people in cities, but you can go live in your cities. I prefer living away from all that and just being.
At least you got a chance out here.
Yeah.
I think we keep this up. People are going to start immigrating or crossing the border to Mexico. They're going to start cheating going back to Mexico.
You know, we could always just send some of the homeless over to Mexico or Canada. You know, Canada likes taking people in. You know, honestly, let's roll back here. Even when Trump was in office or Biden, it don't matter. Our immigration, we had so many more people coming into the United States by percentage, not by population, that we were like in the top five for immigration in the world. We're the third largest populated country in the world, and we're taking more people in by percentage. And by percentage, not just by population, which is we're also taking the number one.
Now you're confusing me.
Well, percentage means is no one's beating
us. You might
be
confusing our audience,
but,
too.
But it's important. There's a distinction between by population, by percentage. Both, we're leading in population in number of people coming in, but by percentage of the total population, the number of percentage coming in is greater than any other country. And we're taking people, we've always been taking people in. And that's why, and they say we need to have more. We're leading the world in it. Nobody else is doing the number we're doing. And
well, the Russians and Chinese are going to invade us. They're just going to go through Mexico. That's all. They don't have to tell us we're being invaded.
Well,
it's too late.
No one has to invade anything, Bill. They just do the Opium Wars 2.0. The Opium Wars 2.0 is just, you know, put fentanyl and, you know, oxycodone on the street. And that's what's happening. It's if you go study the Opium Wars, that's what the British did to China. And then when the Chinese government tried to stop the British importing opium into the country, the British declared war on them. And so that's similar to what China's sending fentanyl over here. That's been proven.
It's going. Hey, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and get a little bit more detail as far as money and food and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Politics and all that.
Okay.
Okay.
Outside the Saigon lounge on my last night in this town, I stand alone as I watch the sun go down and shed a tear for all those things I never found. But oh, time has flown. I step inside and I revel with the crowd. They sing and dance as I live my life out loud. But all too soon I'm on the road. I've traveled miles and oh, the time has flown. It's only now that I realize I need you like a song.
This is the Real BS Show. Hey, by the way, we're playing songs that the Distance Band made.
That's right.
You know, I like them the best.
Yeah.
It's because I'm playing bass.
You know, it's one of the parts that when you start working on these kind of things, you remember all the little parts of those songs that you did. You know, you're like, oh, we did this, we did that, you know?
Yeah, did a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, you know, always talking about the end of civilization and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was thinking about the banking stuff, you know, and how much money we've printed in just the last 4 years. I was thinking, well, what's a trillion? You know, I mean, now we're up $33 trillion in the hole, plus probably $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities, you know, all that. So you take a trillion. What is a trillion? It's, okay, let's take a trillion seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
How, do you know how far that is?
That's like 30 years or something like that. 28 years, I think.
31,000 years.
Okay, there we go. It's, I was new. It was
31.
Up there.
Neanderthals were running around over in Europe there.
Humans and Neanderthals were interbreeding back then.
31,000 years.
And you know,
that's only 1 trillion. 1 trillion.
Right. So... So,
and these banks are the Federal Reserve just handing it out, printing it up like it's well, I mean, it's not totally their fault. It's the government's fault. Our stupid politicians in Washington, they're just spending money, and they've been doing it for quite a while, but geez, in the last 10 years, they've just gone nuts, completely nuts.
It goes back to, I'm going to criticize both Trump and Biden. They both sent stimulus checks, and everyone just didn't question it. They thought, oh, this is great. We're going to get free money.
We're going to get some free money.
And me, if you remember when it first happened, when Trump was doing it, and even when Biden was doing it, I was complaining about both, saying, what the heck? We're digging ourselves a hole here. We're just printing money.
And he said, well, we're $28 trillion in the hole anyways. What's another $7 or $8 more trillion?
It's something like 80%. When they did the first round, it was 80% of all currency was created in the matter of a year. That ever was created since the dawn of our country. And I was blown away by that. 80%. That's how much money they flooded our market with.
If you look back in history, every civilization, it was always about money.
Right.
And that's what killed them. The Roman Empire is perfect
example. The indulgences and, throwing money at things.
Devalued their money, They stole the Romans cut edges off their silver coins, to make more coins.
Or added lead inside,
hide it. Yeah, and they changed things. 63, I think, they started putting copper inside of quarters and dimes. And it's always about the money and the way they mishandle it, and now it's debt. It's just, and that's what's killing everybody. I mean, the biggest asset the United States has, if you add up their, it's student loans.
Yeah. And that's
balance sheet or something. And student loans are right up there, $1.5 trillion.
It's
unreal.
And they wanted to forgive it. And it's like, you're leaving the system in place that made it. If we let them actually file bankruptcy, if we didn't do federally approved loans, they wouldn't be lending all this money out. They'd be super careful about who they lent the money out. And this goes back to why I think the government should not be in the business of saying federally approved loans. I mean, we should get out of that. I got a clip here that I'm going to play that I think it goes back to inflation. Can we do that?
I don't care. As long as it's not got any swear words or sexual connotations.
No, we're good.
I don't know.
It's PG.
I guess we're allowed to do anything we want, really.
Yeah.
Until the government gets us.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've never heard it, so folks, remember, this was Seth's idea.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't make sense to you, well, there you go.
Your ATM is safe. Your banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. Don't you?
The Federal Reserve, that's our Achilles heel.
An infinite amount of cash.
Yeah, do you know how many, a trillion seconds, do you have any idea how long that is?
Yeah, we just went over that 36,000
years.
31,000 years.
31,000
years,
yeah. The Neanderthals were running around in Europe chasing the white folks, or the Caucasians, or whatever, I don't know. Not the Norsemen. I don't know. It just blows your mind. I mean, this is so far unbelievable.
And it's going to hurt in the long run, it's going to hurt immediately. It already has. We've seen inflation go up drastically. But also it's going to hurt.
We ain't seen nothing yet.
It's going to hurt the future generations. It's hurting your grandkids, their kids, and their kids. Because who's going to ever pay this off? And you can't perpetually keep on having debt on your shoulders because they're going to downgrade our rating, which they have done before, and they will do it again.
If you take all the liabilities the United States has as unfunded liabilities,
right.
We're talking $150 trillion.
Yeah. And
that's beyond belief.
I'm not trying to say do a whataboutism. I'm talking about this is a global thing. So every country is doing this.
And all the other guys.
But, you know, so UK right now is number one in inflation. They have huge amounts of inflation. China is massive inflation.
Well, they're on an island.
India has massive inflation. Right now in Pakistan, it is so bad, people are fighting over food. We are bound for that if we don't get on the right path, and that's the problem. That's why we're doing this prep show right now. We're like, hey, you guys need to prepare. Start, you know, canning food. Start growing your own garden. Start planning on for a future where the stores might be empty. It could happen because it's happening in countries right now like Pakistan. And that's a lot of people. There's like 300—how many people are in there? Like 200 million people in Pakistan or 100 million?
I don't
know. Oh, let's look. We have Google.
I've never been there.
I mean, it's
I think India is the most populated country.
It is.
It's
number one over China. They're just they're 231 million people. So they're right behind us in population, and they're losing. They're freaking out over food right now.
They're the size of Indiana.
Yeah, they're about two thirds the size of the population of the United States. 100 million.
Yeah,
less.
But their land mass is
small. Yeah.
Yeah, very small.
It's what's happening in Pakistan is just a tragedy. They don't have the food there to fund everybody, and it's about the size of California, to be honest with you, in area size. So it's 230 million people packed in the area, and there's not the whole area is not.
California have 30 million?
Yeah, 30 million, yeah. So, Pakistan's not all fertile. It's mostly, there's a lot of desert there.
A lot of swamp, too.
And it's really most of the population's along the river. So, it's really jam packed, and people are rioting, stealing food. There's factions fighting each other. And
sounds like America.
Bill's a popular person.
Yeah, that's my phone again.
But I think that's where we, in the United States, we have the opportunity to start growing your own food. You can grow your own food and protect yourself and buffer yourself from people. And one of the things in our Commonwealth here in this state is at least they promote victory gardens, having your own gardens, you know?
Yeah, but who does that?
Well, people are starting to pick it up. Yeah. I think having your own garden is a big deal. It's a lot of work, but guess what? They say you need about an acre per person to feed them for the whole year, which is about true. An acre of food being grown.
Oh, you could do less of that.
You can, but you think about all your winter and everything. You'd have to plan ahead. You'd want to have reserves ahead in case something happened. So an acre is a healthy number per person.
And just go over to the neighbors and steal it from them.
Right,
that's
right.
What's going to happen. People will start robbing from each other. Yeah. Well, they're already robbing the stores.
Yeah, yeah.
To put them out of business and Walmart go under and we're all cooked.
So besides food, besides water, besides energy, what are other things that you are doing to prepare for it? How about heat? You know, we're in a cold area. You know, some people don't have.
Well, I started some time ago, quite a while ago, and I started buying dehydrated food.
Right.
I mean, Mountain House is really good stuff.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's probably got too much salt in it, but it's really good. I mean, it fills you up. And,
right.
And, you know, they got biscuits, and they got everything. And it's just, you just pour some boiling water in, and away you go.
Right.
And it's, you know, and it's supposed to last 30 years on the shelf, you know, if you
right.
don't open it. So I got an awful lot of that. And I don't know how long that would last. I bet I got a year's worth of stuff. Of course, if everybody else is hungry, then I to start, you know, sharing it with everybody,
then it'll
go down real quick. But I started that, and I was always interested in this electricity thing. I hated the electric company.
Right, right.
So I did the solar panels, and I studied and built, and I put together a system that has been working for 5 years now, and it's just perfect. I mean, it's just beautiful. I don't touch it. I brush the snow off in the winter. That's it.
So in the other part, so besides food, water, and shelter, and energy, how about how are you planning for the winters, the cold?
I have a little wood stove. It's about a 14-inch square thing.
And logs are renewable, right? You know, trees are renewable.
Oh, geez, I started with that when they went through, with the logging companies went through all the property around me,
mm-hmm.
you know, you were talking a lot of acreage. And
right.
I just took the tops because they left them everywhere and right. nobody wanted them. So I started cutting up tops.
Yep.
Next thing you know, I'm selling this stuff. And holy cow.
I remember coming out there and helping. My son and I came out there and helped you.
Yeah. We took some to your house, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And we were out there cutting off the tops. I mean, the tops were a huge amount of wood. There was
Yeah.
I mean, it was like wasteful seeing that sit there.
Yeah, right, right.
You know?
And so I've probably done 300 or 400 cords.
Oh, wow.
The last
yeah.
3 or 4 years, 3 years.
And you do, so that's something right there is, you know, people forget, what if the gas or electricity shuts off? What are you going to use to heat your house? I mean, we live in an area with a lot of trees. So that's a big positive
a lot of
there,
good
you
trees,
know?
Hardwood. Hardwood.
And, you know, we are blessed in that regard.
Well, I built a tiny house, too. That's, you know, 16 by 8.
So less heat you have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, and I insulated it good and made it just the way I wanted right. it. And so it's real easy to heat. So that little wood burner is just perfect. And I can blow myself out of there if I want to,
right.
you know, really turn it on. But I figured I'd make, I cut up the wood. It's only like 6-7 inches long.
Right.
And I use less than a cord
right.
a year.
Oh, wow.
Probably a year would be 2 face cords. So that's 2/3 of a cord.
Right.
So that's what I use to heat my house in a year.
I think I go through about 2 cords, roughly, around that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's maybe a little bit less than that sometimes.
That's pretty much all you have, right?
Yeah.
Wood stove?
Yeah, wood stove. Yeah, I don't have anything else.
It's not hard to deal with. I mean, it really isn't.
You clean your chimney, you know, make sure that's clean and sealed off good, and you know how to keep the fire going. You just keep it going when it gets really cool.
Yeah, you get good at it. The wood stoves are pretty slick.
You know, one of the big things I changed out was getting a new torch head, and that really changed everything. It was like one with a push button. now it's like, I don't have to use a lighter anymore. I just click a button, and boom, a light comes on. It's like a jet engine going on.
Yeah. Well, you use starter stuff, too.
Yeah, fat wood. You can make your own fat wood, you know?
Yeah, I make little cupcakes with sawdust in them. And some a little bit of wax. And you just put one of them in there, and you light that, and away she goes.
It's actually quite easy to make those. That's what Boy Scouts would teach. But also, fat wood is easy to do. You get the sap, and you basically would slightly cook it to soak the sap in the pine. Because you use fat wood that's like, you know, maybe half an inch
thick.
Just
get some pine roots, and you got fat wood. That's the same stuff.
Right. And I think, you know, when these things are all, again, they're all online how to do these things. So I've been watching a lot of them how to do it. They you know, how to make tar.
My whole operation is simple.
Right.
Very, very simple.
Right.
If I got to go through a lot of nonsense and a lot of work, I don't want to do it.
Right.
But I've got it down. So, I mean, it's no big shake, you know. I mean, I have these water tanks in the water shed.
Right.
That I have to fill up maybe once every 3-4 months. There's about 600 gallons in there, and it's all insulated and kind of buried into the ground. So,
what do you use that for?
That's I let the spring water from out back in the woods there, that fills up those water tanks.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to turn them on for like half an hour every 3 months. But then that is where the pump is. You know, the 12-volt pump that pumps the water
mm-hmm.
from the watershed underground and comes up into my house.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you have to worry about the water ever being bad in that at all? Or?
Well, you know, I thought about it, but it's so nice and clean and everything, but I do have a Berkey water filter.
Right, right.
That I've never had it tested, but, I mean, it's so soft, and it's so nice to take a shower.
You know, I tested the well that at my house, and it's only 200 in, because, it's like maybe 50 ppm, which is not bad at all. But I have a meter now. I bought it. It was like $20 on Amazon, and I tested it on, like, pond water that's like 200 or something like that, parts per million. But I'd have to redo it again because it's actually the well water is cleaner than what I thought it was, you know. So
you might have iron in your.
That's pretty much
when
it.
You get deep wells like that.
Yeah,
they can come up with
iron.
Do you
know how deep that well is by chance?
Probably 120 feet.
Because it's not on the well register. That's why I'm asking. I looked on the well register. It's not on there.
Yeah, I think it was 130.
But
the 2530.
But yeah, that's the biggest problem in this area is the iron and the wells around. Everyone has that problem in this very immediate area.
My spring that comes up out back, it's the beginning of a little stream, and it comes up out of the ground, and it just year round, it just shoots up, you know, just bubbles up out of the ground, and you know, somebody a long time ago built a cement thing around it, and I just put a roof on it, keep the leaves out so it doesn't fill up, but the water just continually all summer long.
That's good.
Comes out. And
that groundwater is probably good. Is it carbonated at all? I mean, naturally?
No. It's just plain old. It's soft, though. I mean,
oh, really? Not too much, not enough acidic or alkaline at all?
No, you get a lot of soap suds out of that.
Really?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, it's nice. But any drinking part of it, I just fill up the Berkey.
Right. Yeah, the Berkeys are great. I mean, they're a little bit more expensive than what people would probably realize. They're like $300 or $200.
Well, they got some pretty nice ones now. They're like $30.
Really?
Yeah, water. I didn't know that. Called free water, free something. Mm. Really nice containers with spigots on them and everything. Yeah, they're really, really good. Free something. Free charge, free something.
Yeah, I'll look it up here.
Yeah, water's important. Like I say, it runs all year round, so it never freezes. Constantly doesn't freeze. You know, I just have to make sure my watershed doesn't freeze.
There's zero water.
Zero water.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Zero water.
Yeah, there's so many companies out there trying to compete.
It's the best, and it's like $25, $30 really? Or something, yeah.
Is it a pitcher? Or a faucet mount?
It's a pitcher that you fill up, and then it goes, the filter in it filters the water.
They have a five-stage filter pitchers.
Yeah. It's this one right here.
That right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you can get it on Amazon. That says $44.99. You get it on Amazon for about $30.
Yeah, right here's one, a 20 cup that's $34. It's not bad at all. This one's out of stock. it looks like a cool system. And you have to buy the filters too, right?
Well, you get one filter, but yeah, then I don't know how long they last. That's the only thing I don't know. But
right.
They're rated so high that it must be okay.
That's with the Berkey filters. I've never had to replace the filters on them. That's the crazy part, you know?
Yeah, well, they really last a long time.
And that's the part about them that's, to me, the best part. You can clean them gently with not even with a Brillo pad. I use right here.
How many you get there?
You get two. There's a filter replacements for $30. Here's one right here.
Just one, or
yeah, it's just one. That's it. Here's the thing right here. It's $31. It's a 30.
Oh, there's four filters for $40.
Yeah. So this right here is $31 for 23 cupper, and it looks like the filter is right there. So it's circulating the water. So you put the water up in this reservoir here, and that comes down through. Okay, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, there's no electricity involved. It's all gravity fed.
Right.
But it's got a.
So it has a TDS water testing meter. That's what I use. I already have one of those, a TDS. It's a total dissolved solids, yeah. This
zero water. That's I couldn't remember that.
Yeah, zero water. This is where, you know, that could help people. No electricity is an important part. You can take it anywhere.
What's nice is you set it in the refrigerator.
I don't know. What see? We got storage. We got not storage. We got food. We got food, water, electricity, energy,
toilet paper,
shelter. You know, and food storage. You know, how are you keeping your food stored?
It's all that dehydrated stuff,
right? But how are you protecting it from mice and rats?
It's all in cans. Okay, and then I put it in these plastic. Like 5 gallon buckets and stuff.
Oh, so
like that
protects it too, yeah.
Yeah, they can't get into that.
That's important. People forget about that. We're going into the realm of if we get into a situation, rodents and stuff are going to try to find a way in bugs.
Sure, they always do, whether there's a crisis or not. They're always around.
Right. So, but the population, from what I've seen with the numbers, if there ever was a situation where there was a massive failure of society where electricity got shut off because of. From the sun or something like we talked about previous shows, you know, in back in 1850, 9, I think it was, when they had the telegram lines being destroyed from the Carrington event, I believe it was called, the Carrington event, yeah. And when that happened, that could happen today, and basically the rodent population would explode, because you think about all the things that are being protected would be no longer protected, and so the rodent population would all this food.
All you're doing is shutting electricity off.
Right,
so.
Right.
And that could if that ever happened again, that could, you know,
you have to rebuild
turn
everything.
The electric off for a couple of years.
Yeah, you'd have to rebuild everything from scratch, and that's the problem. So what else can we be missing on survival? I'll try to see.
Well, the other thing is that I've never really had any firearms or ammunition.
Yeah,
and in the last 10 years, I've changed all that.
That's good.
So, and I don't waste a lot of money on ammo.
No.
I don't practice a whole lot, you know, but
I think that's...
I got some basic stuff, right. And that's some semi-automatic pistol.
Right.
And, repeating rifle and stuff like that. And that's... But I don't need to fight off the, you know, Russians are
right,
coming
no,
or something.
No.
Forget it, I'm done.
No. But
I was worried more about bears and stuff like that, because they come to visit once in a while. And the louder the noise, the faster they run.
That's right, right. I do think, you know, having personal arms is important. It's, you know, why the Second Amendment exists. And I do have weapons to protect myself and use for hunting. I hunt as well. I'm not going to say how many I have. I'm not going out and buying rifles all the time or anything like that. But I do try to, we do go shooting just for practice, you know. And we do it, you know, for fun once in a while.
Yeah.
My son, I'm trying to keep him on the, you know, we go out shooting a lot. And then, you know, I used to reload. So I know how to reload. But that's something, if something was to happen, you would have to have a reloading kit, a die kit, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
Well,
you know?
I'm just stockpiled with ammo.
Yeah, there you go.
So if my house burns down, I'm going to run off and get away from there, because it's going to...
That happened one time when I was in the Army. Someone was smoking in the ammo shed, and bullets started going off. And we had to, I couldn't crawl closer to the ground. I could, but the bullets were going over everybody's head. It was like fireworks, but with bullets. And tracer rounds going all over. So that's an experience that a few of the guys I served in the Army with, if they were listening, then they probably remember that story. They were right there with us on the ground.
Well, you know, we're talking to people. I think most folks, the general population, should have some food.
Yeah, you'd think.
I mean, I like peaches and pears and you know, and... In a can, they're pretty good.
And even canned
meat.
They're
not that expensive either, really.
No, even canned meat, I know that can be expensive, but even just having canned meat can help a lot. You know, having canned peas, some canned vegetables or green beans, you can get, like, canned fruit. That's good. But the canned fruit does spoil faster than the other ones. But I still buy canned fruit because, heck, you know, you can get pears. Pears are an excellent source of energy. I think I like apples, but pears are even better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But there's so many different canned food that you can get, and ones that you can can yourself.
Well, people should have something, even if it's just enough to hang in there for a couple of weeks or 30 days, you know, until Walmart gets open again. You know, they should have something. You can't just be with... You know, I don't know how long that ravioli lasts, but I got quite a bit of that.
And there's nothing wrong with getting into canning your own food. It's a little. Sometimes you have to be careful what you're doing with it. You have to read up on how to do it right, so you don't blow up. You know, make a pressure bomb. But you can get you can can your own food.
I have a dehydrator where you put the vegetables and bananas and whatever in there.
It makes it
and
a
you turn
chip.
This thing on, and it runs for 4 to 8 hours or so. And then when you take the slide stuff out, it's all wilted up real, you know, and then you put it in a jar and you vacuum seal the jar. Mm-hmm. You suck all the air out and then it seals the lid. Mason jars, you know, mm-hmm. And those are supposed to last 30 years.
Right, right.
And like mushrooms, if you open a jar of mushrooms and you taste them mushrooms without reconstituting them, without adding water to them,
mm-hmm.
You just stick them in your mouth. Oh, are they good? Holy smokes. I mean, it's like all that stuff. Taste and everything is
Unami,
just crammed right into that shrunk up mushroom. You
right,
know?
Right.
Oh, is that good stuff? You don't have to cook it or nothing. Just stick it in your mouth. But You know, that stuff. I got a lot of that stuff. You know what? We should... people fall asleep. I can see the people in the back there.
But I've been told by people that they like the longer just us talking too, and, you know, just having fun, you know? But yeah. This is stuff that people can start researching. They can find out.
If I was like anybody, I would stock up a little bit on cash, at least for now, until they go all digital.
Yeah.
But I'd have some cash available, because if the credit cards and the ATM machines and all that stuff stop working.
It happened to you.
Yeah, we had that tornado stuff, and it was thunderstorms down there in Titusville. There was 2 days with nothing.
Oh, wow.
You know, even McDonald's was shut down.
Really?
Walmart was shut down. Yeah, it was all, nobody had electricity.
Well, yeah, and it was here. Remember when you were mayor in this town? That
yeah, right, we that was a week.
Yeah, that was rough.
You know? Yeah, people were hollering at me because I was on Facebook. I had my own electricity, you know, and they're saying, oh, you're just showing off, and that. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on. Yeah. So I quit Facebook. I declined my account or whatever you call it. Deactivated. Let's play a song and leave.
All right.
All right. Make like a tree and leave.
There you go. Have a good day.
See ya.
Mountains rock this time to be here. They close the highway down. They don't own the town. And I've been fighting the second gear for 15 miles or so, trying to beat the angry snow. I know every town we're passing through, so what good does knowing do with no one to show it to? And I've grown tired of traveling alone, tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? Tired of traveling alone, I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? Won't you ride? Won't you ride? And I quit talking to myself and listening to the God left. How much is God left?